kunya vihadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopirana Vallava Giri Varadhari Gopirana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janarandana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janarandana Ravana Chari Ramunati Ravana Chari Neya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jila Prabhupada. Jaya Radha, Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan. Radha Madan Mohan Ji Radhe Jaya Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai
Translation. Lord Shri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who were unable to see him as he is due to not executing required penance. Purport. In this verse, the word avitripta drisham is most significant. The conditioned souls in the material world are all trying to satisfy their senses in various ways, but they have failed to do so because it is impossible to be satisfied by such efforts. the example of the fish on land is very appropriate. If one takes a fish from the water and puts it on the land, it cannot be made happy by any amount of offered pleasure. The spirit soul can be happy only in the association of the Supreme Living Being, the Personality of Godhead, and nowhere else. The Lord, by His unlimited causeless mercy, has innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the Brahma-Jyoti sphere of the spiritual world. And in that transcendental world, there is an unlimited arrangement for the unlimited pleasure of the living entities. The Lord Himself comes to display His transcendental pastimes typically represented at Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwaraka. He appears just to attract the conditioned souls back to Godhead, back home, to the eternal world. But for want of sufficient piety, the onlookers are not attracted by such pastimes of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that only those who have completely surpassed the way of sinful reaction can engage themselves in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The entire Vedic way of ritualistic performances is to put every conditioned soul on the path of piety. By strict adherence to the prescribed principles for all orders of social life, one can attain the qualities of truthfulness, control of the mind, control of the senses, forbearance, etc., and can be elevated to the plane of rendering pure devotional service to the Lord. Only by such a transcendental vision are one's material hankerings fully satisfied. When the Lord was present, persons who were able to satisfy their material hankerings by seeing Him in true perspective were thus able to go back with Him to His kingdom. But those persons who were unable to see the Lord as He is remained attached to material hankerings and were not able to go back home, back to Godhead. When the Lord passed beyond the vision of all, He did so in His original eternal form, as stated in this verse. The Lord left in His own body. He did not leave His body as is generally misunderstood by the conditioned souls. This statement defeats the false propaganda of the faithless non-devotees that the Lord passed away like an ordinary conditioned soul. The Lord appeared in order to release the world from the undue burden of the non-believing asuras, and after doing this, He disappeared from the world's eyes. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Before I start, I would like to greet all of you. Thank you very much for coming and giving pleasure to our hearts. It's always very nice when one comes after a long travel through the material, I mean through these different cities and towns, and it's a very nice to see the purifying darshan of the devotees, and in this way lose the tension of traveling through Kali Yuga towns. This verse is very, very nice, but we need to do something for this. Gaurahari, can you give me something to drink? Something. I left my voice in Berlin, it seems. We will do something. One moment. When I was thinking this morning what I should talk about, I decided to talk about Krishna consciousness from a certain perspective, the perspective of a journey, and a specific journey, the journey of love. We are very often told in the scriptures that the Lord hides himself behind the curtain of his illusory energy, Maya Javani Kachanam. And therefore, he cannot so easily be seen. Even when Lord Krishna appeared in this world 5,000 years ago, he was still covered for those who did not have bhakti in their hearts. These persons saw him but did not see him. A very good example is a washerman who lived in Mathura and who actually perceived Lord Krishna as he was walking down the street in the direction of Kamsa's palace. This washerman had just washed Kamsa's opulent king's cloth, and he was ready to go into the palace of Kamsa. And at that moment he saw in the distance Lord Krishna coming down the road with his cowherd boyfriends. And Krishna came to the washerman and stopped with all his friends before this washerman who had all the very majestic cloth, silken cloth of Kamsa, ready to bring to the king. Krishna stood there and he smiled, a smile which has been glorified in many, many shastras as the most attractive feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The smile of God is something which is so indescribable, attractive, that the hearts just melt as one thinks of the smile of Lord Krishna. Even if one didn't want to surrender, if one sees the smile of the Lord, one wants to surrender. So the Lord stood there smiling at the washerman. And the washerman, believe it or not, felt some kind of fulfillment in his heart, because he had performed many, many, sadhanas, that means spiritual practices, as a yogi, to see the indwelling supersoul. But because he had not yet developed the eyes of love, therefore he was not really able to see the Lord as he is. And his heart was not inclined to render devotional service. Krishna stood before the washerman and recognized this person has performed yogic sadhanas for many lifetimes, actually. And as a result, he now can see me. But Krishna also saw that this person did not see him because of not having developed bhakti, the eyes of bhakti. So Krishna smiled and he said, "You have very nice cloth there." "Yes," said the washerman, "these are the cloth of King Kamsa." "Oh," said Krishna, "I have come to Mathura to meet the king, and I want to dress in his cloth." "What," said the washerman, "you want to dress in the kingly cloth?" "Yes, because I want to see the king." "No one has ever asked me such a foolish question. How can you dress in the cloth of King Kamsa?" Krishna smiled and he took his all blissful hand, and in one swift movement he granted liberation to the washerman. The washerman fell down, being touched by the hand of the Lord, ready to complete his sadhana in a different lifetime. He had not developed bhakti, and when the Lord came and wanted service from him, he said no. Because, see, you must know, only through the eyes of bhakti can you see something of the Lord. If you have no bhakti in your heart, you will not be able to see the Lord. And Prabhupada writes about this. The Lord had appeared, but not all the people who had performed, the people who saw him, saw him. It said, those who had not executed the required penance were unable to see him. What is the required penance? The required penance heißt Buße in Deutsch, is to enter the process of the sadhana, which will lead to developing bhakti in our hearts. It's a certain bhakti sadhana, which I believe most of you are familiar with, and I will not talk in detail about this morning. But I just want like to draw your attention to the fact that only if you have developed the eyes of bhakti can you actually see something of the Lord. I would like to give you a little example how your mood decides what you see. Imagine a thief comes into this the room in Braj when you want to make a compliment to a taxi driver or someone of that profession, you will call him a proper thief. They like this very much for some reason, because they are bridge bossies. They become, they immediately remember Lord Hari, who steals away everything from his devotees, which is an obstacle for developing bhakti. So imagine a proper thief comes into this room. He will see this, the people in this room, different from you. He will look who of you has money which he can steal. Most properly, he will start looking at your wristwatches, how expensive they are. He would see Gaurahari's wristwatch, which seems to be very expensive. And he would say, well, this person is very, very suitable. I will steal something. His eyes will quickly go through the whole room, and he will he will scan the room, and he will see maybe these things, and he will immediately think, are they original antique pieces? And he will see, no, they are just very cheap things, so I won't steal those. And he will look at the deity, and he will ask the questions, are these real pearls or artificial pearls? Real jewels or artificial jewels? He will only look through the vision of the thief, and he will see what a thief sees. Chanakya Pandit has discussed this, that the mood will influence what you see. He has described that a lusty man who goes through the world sees everywhere opportunities for sense gratification. He sees women and he imagines them as objects for his carnal pleasures. He will really see the world like this. Where are attractive women? And if he spots some, finds some attractive women, he will start to make Casanova plans, how to win their attention in some ways. You can see this sometimes when a beautiful woman enters an assembly, the men are changing their entire behavior, what they say and what they did not say, because they have this certain mood and they are able to perceive the world in this way, in this perspective. So that's why when we see, you can see the Lord, but if you don't have bhakti in your heart, you will not see him. Like this washerman who did not want to do devotional service to Krishna. You know, the first moment it is described in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's writing, when a devotee sees Krishna, the first spontaneous reaction for him is he wants to render service. That is the immediate response in his heart. Let me do some service for Krishna. The devotee will see the deity, and the first thought is, how can I do some service for the deity? It's almost, you know, like a proper mother. The moment she sees her little child, she, my child! And she feels, let me breastfeed my child. And she feels all these motherly emotions towards the child. So when a devotee has developed some purity in his heart, then the first thing he feels is, let me do some service. But there is a difficulty. when you have the darshan of Radha and Krishna, the deities, their lordships are so indescribable beautiful that first of all, you don't know where you should look. Should I look at Krishna? Should I look at Radha? And then you are overwhelmed by feelings, and you pass out in your consciousness. You it's overwhelming. It's the Lord steals your consciousness immediately, and you break down. And then it's very difficult. You're so confused. But after some time, you want to just do something. You want to pour water over the lotus feet of your Lord and give him relief and wash his feet. Or you want to do some service. This is the immediate spontaneous reaction of a devotee who has a darshan of the Lord. But only if it is a proper devotee. Just like only the paka thief is immediately thinking of, here's an opportunity to steal. So the proper devotee will think in his life, if he has bhakti, if he has the eyes of bhakti, here's an opportunity to render service. And he will immediately enter into this mood. This is a sign of purified vision. He has bhakti in his heart, and through the eyes of bhakti, he wants to do service. Now, the wonderful thing about Krishna is, even if you do not have this eyes of bhakti, but approach Lord Krishna for material reasons, if you approach Lord Krishna, he will take your material vision out of your heart, and he will replace it with bhakti. See, Lord Krishna is such that anyone who engages his mind with Lord Krishna, for whatever reason, will become Krishnarized. In the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, Narada Muni is thinking about the wonderful qualities of Krishna. And he says, Krishna, from his perspective, has no friend and no enemy. That means no one gets on Krishna's nerves. But the moment someone engages his mind with Krishna, then Krishna enters the mind of the that person and purifies the mind. Madhusudana Sarasvati explains that Lord Krishna is like a candle flame in a candle which melts the wax of the candle. So in the same way, Lord Krishna, as he enters the mind of the devotee, will melt the mind. And therefore, Narada Muni says, in a way, I envy the demons, because the demons think from morning till evening of Lord Krishna. And therefore, by thinking constantly of Krishna, they are experiencing the benefit of Krishna thought, of Krishna smaranam. And the example which is given is the example of the grass worm who is captured in the hole by a wasp, an insect. And that insect, so the grass worm thinks from morning till evening of that insect. And at the next life, he becomes that insect. The demons think of Krishna in a hateful way, but they think of Krishna. And then Narada Muni gives other examples. The gopis think of Lord Krishna in a way where they use their karma to meditate about him. And he gives the Pandava think of Lord Krishna as their friend. Arjuna thinks, I will ride with my Lord on the chariot, on a pleasure ride to the river. Yes, and I will. He has ideas of tours of which he wants to do with Krishna. And then Narada Muni says, and we, the ordinary bhaktas, think of you, my Lord, by engaging in devotional service. And in this way, we meditate about you. But this devotional service, so whatever way you take, whatever is your journey of love, the principle is to somehow bring Krishna in your heart so that your heart will change due to the presence of the Lord there. Therefore, we worship all these devotees. Even the gopis, they are worshipped by us as the highest devotees because they think with karma, with intense desire of Krishna. And as a result, they are fully Krishna-arized. The Krishna is just so much in them. That he is never, ever separated from the gopis. Lord Krishna, he declares, if I would stop to be separated from the devotees, I wouldn't be Krishna. It would be better for me to die. Hare Krishna. But because this is a very unpleasant thing, Krishna only thinks this way. He doesn't express it in words. This is how much he stays with devotees who think of him. Krishna is attracted, he's pulled, and he is bound by this thought. Krishna says, I can cut in everyone's bondage, but I cannot cut the bondage of love, which is there with my devotees who bind me in this way. Krishna is incapable to do this. So this idea of bhakti, of devotional service, bhakti yoga, this is really what helps the devotee to really see Krishna. If you have no bhakti in your heart, you can see the deities, you can see the holy name, you can taste the prasadam of the Lord, but you will not really experience the Krishna darshan in any way. This is a very nice and very important thought which comes from reading this amazing text in the Bhagavatam where Lord Krishna talks about those who cannot see him, although they see him. This is those who have not done the bhakti sadhana, who see without love in their heart. They read the Shastras without love, and they cannot feel anything. They may do many things. It is not very beneficial for them. There is one Muslim, Ras Khan. Oh, if you hear his name already, Ras Khan, ooh, sounds like a rascal. He was a very, very sinful man. And one of his many sins was that he had an unnatural attraction to young boys. I do not wish to go into the detail. In ISKCON, our child protection office deals with such cases if they become active. So Ras Khan one day saw a picture of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna was only dressed with a nice little thing, you know, a little rope around his belly, and he saw her. This boy is a Hindu, I can see immediately. So let me go into a Hindu neighborhood. I really want to meet this, if and find out if he's, what this picture is. And he went to one very great devotee and said, I've seen this picture. Do you know anything about this boy? Are there such boys around? And the devotee said, yes, that is my Lord. This is Krishna. Yes, who is he? Well, he lives in Vrindavan. You mean he is living now in Vrindavan? Yes. Yamuna Govardhan Brajaraj. And he started to get into his Braj mood. Yes, said Raskan. Do you think I can meet him? So the devotee said, everyone can meet the Lord except for me. I'm so fallen. So the Raskan knew enough. He took this picture with him just to ask people where he could meet the boy. And he was looking at the picture, saying, Krishna, Krishna, you're really beautiful. I mean, really, I've never seen such a boy. And he went to Braj, and he asked some great devotees, where is Krishna? And the devotees became totally enlivened. Finally, someone asked a good question. And they said, well, he's herding his cows around this time at this forest. And then he usually goes there, but he might make up his mind and go there. We never know. Our Lord is very restless in his mind. But I mean, if you want to be sure, go to Giriraj. There he will be for sure, because Giriraj is his best servant. While herding the cows, he will come to Giriraj, and most probably he will go from there home to Nandagram around evening time, or when the sun sets. At Uttaragoshta time, he will go there. So you please, you can go there. There you will meet him. So you know there's Govardhan, and there is a way to go from Govardhan to Vashana and Nandagram. It's a way. There nowadays is a road, but there is one best way. You can be sure if Krishna comes by Govardhan, then you know where he will go by, where he walks by. We stay every year at a place where Krishna walks by, and we stay for good reasons there. We know he walks by there. So he was stationing himself and having this picture and looking at and chanting Krishna's holy name. And I do not know all the details, but I will find out in one day or two by the computer. I will write to a friend on the computer who knows these things. But what I know is that Raskan, after some time, because he engaged his mind with Krishna in an intense way, he had a darshan of Lord Krishna, and he wrote a very beautiful poem, which is called The Truth of the Matter. The Truth of the Matter is a poem where he summarizes a little bit his realizations on bhakti. He became, although he started his attraction with Krishna with some unnatural motive, he became purified by having Krishna in his mind. And he wrote this poem, The Truth of the Matter. Also, ich glaube, in Deutsch würde man sagen, wenn du es wirklich wissen willst, nicht? Der Kern der Sache, würde man vielleicht sagen in Deutsch. The Truth of the Matter. is, you know, his realization. He wrote, one person visits the holy sites, another recites 1,000 Puranas. Someone else repeats mantras, while another practices asceticism. There's yet another who gets stuck in some sort of perfect trance. And now this Raskan says, he has a strong voice, you will hear. he was what he was. If you look carefully, you'll see that they are all great fools, wandering aimlessly. And then he states his conviction. He says, if I, Raskan, am to be reborn as a man, then let me live in Braj as a cowherd boy in the village of Gokul. But if I'm reborn as an animal, then what shall I be? I will be a cow that grazes daily in Nanda's herd. And then he pauses and thinks, but most probably I'm born as a rock. It fails. If I am to be a rock, then let me rest upon the mountain that Krishna held in his hand as an umbrella against Indra's storm. If I am to be a bird, then let me live in the branches of a kadamba tree on the bank of the Yamuna. So he expresses his feeling that you may do so many things in your spiritual life, but if you have not started your journey of love, and if you, of bhakti, and if your heart is not full of bhakti, then the truth of the matter in Raskan's eye is that you are actually cheating yourself and maybe also others. This journey of love starts with the first step. We are now Gaura Shiromani and myself, we are now preparing the English version of the Way of the Great Departure, because the BBT is ready to print that book, and we want to overhaul the whole book. I also want to say, I've seen Gaura Bhavani just before it slips my mind, Gaura Bhavani, if you get an idea how to improve the ending of the book, now is our chance to do it. Because we were working on it last time, for the German version. And I always hear that people, I wanted to express something, but I can't reach my audience. It's too much in my own world, this ending. Anyways. The reason why I brought the, why did this thought come up? Yes, the journey of love. The first sentence in the book is, the first step is the step out of doors. Oder in Deutsch, der erste Schritt ist der Schritt aus der Tür. What, if you want to start a real journey where you want to actually meet the Lord with bhakti, what do you do? Where do you start? If you always want to start on the highest platform, sometimes we meet such people, you will not get anything. You have to start your journey by doing your first step. What do you see when you step out of the door? you see the immediate surroundings. If you step out of this door, you see the snow and the valley of the sacred valley of Goloka Dham. So when you do your first step on your journey of love, you actually begin to see that the energy of the Lord, this material world, is not separated from your Lord, but you begin to see that it is the Lord who is present there. Just like a lover who recognizes his beloved in whatever way the person dresses, you also want to see, while you go out into the world, your Lord Krishna. You want to move through the covering, and you become very enthusiastic to listen to the guidance which Lord Krishna gives you, that if you that I am the taste in water, I am the ability in man, I am the sound in ether. In other words, when you step out of your door, you see water, you see people who move about, and you also hear sounds. And if you want to start your Krishna bhakti, you develop the vision that this is my Lord. I'm seeing my Lord. This strengthens your heart. This is what it says. If you see the Lord in the universal form, you strengthen your heart. You become strong for the next step. We always hear the Bhagavad Gita is the first step in God realization. And then comes the Bhagavatam. If you go into the Bhagavatam, you learn other lessons how to see the Lord. You see the Lord in misery, in calamities, in the arrangements of the world. The first canto starts with devotees being in trouble and calling for the Lord, like the Pandavas, Queen Kunti, and also Parikshit Maharaj, who's cursed to die. Parikshit Maharaj sees this death as an opportunity. He prays to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord of all opportunities, you have come now to me in this form. Wonderful, I greet you." When Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, who made a tremendous advancement in this life, and especially it was visible at the end of his life as he was preparing for his departure from this world, Bhaktitirtha Maharaj said was confronted with a disciple. She was crying, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, you're dying." And he said, "No, you are misunderstood. I am not dying. Prabhupada is calling me." It's a different vision. Huh? The vision of love is, I am not dying. Prabhupada is calling me. You misunderstood. This is a yes. This is a perspective of a spiritual life. It is different. It is entirely different. So the first step is the step out of doors. You see the Lord everywhere. When Prabhupada was asked, "Where can you show me God?" Prabhupada asked back, "Do you drink water sometimes?" Says, "Yes, why?" "Well, the taste in the water, that is Krishna. Yeah, we can taste Krishna also. Isn't it? When you go to the market and say, 'Can I see this apple, please? This apple?' What you really say is, I want to taste the apple. if you buy a whole 2 kilos or 50 kilos, or I mean 50 is a little big, five kilos, you can I see the apple? You will want to taste the apple, and then you see the apple. So if you want to start seeing Lord Krishna, then you should you should taste him in water. You should come close to him in your immediate surrounding. If you try to see Lord Krishna beyond your arika, your mind will be totally bewildered and you will misunderstand the Lord totally, who's really beyond your mind and your intelligence, no matter how you try with the imagination to understand him. And then the next step is you will actually be able to see him in your life situation. You will see that everything is arranged by the Lord. That is sometimes very difficult. But if you have developed your trust in Krishna by making the first step, you can do the second step. A trusting lover who trusts that the Lord is everywhere will also understand that everything makes sense because it is arranged by his all-present Lord for him. Yeah? And in this way, the journey of love goes further and further and further. I'm just preparing a huge seminar on it. I've thought in Kanai Natashala very much about this seminar, the journey of love, the journey of tears, the journey of the heart, you know, this type of things. It has many chapters, this journey. But I wanted to request all of you to start your journey of love, to start your journey of bhakti. It's very important. Without bhakti, our heart is so dry and so troubled and so, oh, Krishna. There is a journey of love which I found yesterday. No, when was it? I don't know. The days are too fast for me at the moment. It's about Akrura's arrival in Vrindavan. It's very interesting how Akrura took his journey to Vrindavan. The night before Akrura went to Vrindavan, Kamsa gave a chariot to him. It was made of gold. Kamsa was thinking Akrura is a fool. He's one of those bhaktas of Krishna. But I sent him because Krishna will come with his devotees. He will come to Mathura where I can invite him for a wrestling match. Everything looks very, very cultured, but I will have him assassinated in the wrestling match. So Akura is like a child. I will give him a golden chariot and then he will do everything for me. He will bring the Lord. Not the Lord. He will bring this Krishna boy to Mathura. Kamsa had tried to kill Krishna in Vrindavan, but he even once tried to enter Vrindavan when he saw that all his demons whom he sent failed. But he was not able to enter Vrindavan because Purnamasi just threw him out. Akura received the golden chariot and he was very happy. Kamsa heard about the happiness of Akura and thought, ha ha ha, my trick works. But Akura was happy due to an entirely different reason. I'm so happy that I can visit my Lord and bring him on a chariot, which is not the Mahaprasad of Kamsa. This fool Kamsa has not polluted this chariot with his stinking behind. He has not sat on the chariot. Very good. It's an original piece. My Lord will sit on it. He will be the first one. He will sit there. I will be only the chariot driver. I will be in front. So then when Akura went to Vrindavan, he was longing so much to have the darshan of Krishna. He was awake all night. It was an Ekadasi night, and he followed the Ekadasi, and he was so enthusiastic that he forgot to break the fast in the morning. He was already on his way, Krishna, 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 and driving to Lord Krishna. Sukadev Goswami said, as he traveled on the road, the great soul Akrura felt tremendous devotion for the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, and thus he began to consider as follows. And it's very nice how he goes through different thoughts. If you are interested to find out about the journey of love, you must read chapter 38 of this. He says, I'm a materialistic person, but still I have gotten this opportunity to meet the Lord with this chariot. But enough of such thoughts. Yes, I may be a materialistic person, but then he was thinking, it is said that also the fallen souls can see the infallible Supreme Lord, because sometimes it happens, Akrura was thinking about his life, that a person who's drowning in an ocean gets swept by the waves of the ocean onto the shore. So Akura was meditating. Yes, I may be a fallen soul. I may be drowning in the ocean of birth and death. But the waves of mercy of Krishna has swept me on the shore. And now I can, now I'm there. And then he was just meditating the whole journey. These are such nice meditations. He was meditating also about the service he would do. He would say, as soon as I see the lotus feet of my Lord, I will jump down this chariot. Gosh! I will throw myself on the ground. I will take these lotus feet on my head. But Akura became even more ecstatic. When he actually entered Vrindavan and heard the mooing of the cows and the Braj bulls and so on, he saw the footprints of Lord Krishna in the dust of Braj. And he could not wait with his original service, where he just wanted to jump down when he saw the lotus feet. He was so ecstatic that he jumped out of the driving chariot and just threw himself on the lotus footprint of his Lord. So if you read this, something might happen with you. You might also think, yes, I'm a fallen soul. I'm drowning. Yes, I know. I'm very, very insecure in bhakti. But also, by the mercy of the Lord, everything is possible. And you will be very, very devotional. You might have been very proud in the past and never thought of Krishna, that he is present in the taste of water. You might have been very dull and never thought about, like me, never thought about Lord Krishna, that he is in your life and he arranges your life. You might be like I am always, and so on. But when you read this journey of Akrura, who just, you know, stops his chariot and throws himself down in the dust, because there is something which has a relationship with Krishna. It's a footprint of the Lord in the sand of Braj. You will actually be very happy to see everything which is in relationship to Krishna, which you can perceive on your level of perception, and you will put this on your head and worship the Lord in ecstatic Krishna consciousness. We must start our journey somewhere, and I really believe that this is a very individual journey which every one of us has to do, and we should give it the maximum amount of our attention. We should ask ourselves, where am I in my journey of bhakti now? How often do I think of Krishna? Or do I think mostly of myself? How often do I want to do the service for Krishna? Because I heard in the lecture, this is a natural feeling of a bhakta, and so on. And as we enter these feelings, we will enter Krishna thought, and just like Ras Khan, who started his Krishna thought in a very minimal way. You know, he looked at the photo of Krishna. In India, you say for a picture, the photo of Krishna. He looked at the photo of Krishna. And he was very much moved, and he thought, yes, very beautiful, and he became purified. Somewhere or somehow, the great devotees always encourage us, think of Krishna. Somehow, start your thinking process of Krishna. The more you can think of Krishna, the better. Your success in life is not how much, let me say it positively, how much have you thought of Krishna during the day? This is real spiritual life. This is not imagined spiritual life. How much can you think of Krishna during the day? That is why we do all these things. Sometimes devotees see so many rules and regulations in Krishna consciousness that they, when they are new, they feel, oh, it's not possible. And when they are old, they also feel it's not possible. The new and the old have missed the point somewhere. The rules and regs are only helping to remember Krishna. If it doesn't work, then you have not practiced the appropriate set of bhakti rules. You have taken maybe too many rules and practiced them just for the sake of following them, niyamakraha. So you must reconsider your practice and see, is this working, this practice, that I can remember my Lord in some ways. These are just some thoughts. I did not prepare this lecture. I hope I have said something which is relevant for your spiritual lives. I wanted to read to you all of this Akrura thing because I liked it so much, but then I thought, maybe you will not like it if I read so much. And this is very good. Just listen to Akrura's pure, you know, so pure-hearted. Surely I shall see the face of Lord Mukunda, because the proof is, the deer, das Reh, are now walking past me on my right side. That's the proof. Oh, that face of Mukunda, framed by his curly hair, is beautified by his attractive cheeks and nose. Maybe Akura remembers the pearl in Krishna's nose, and therefore is very ecstatic. His smiling glances, ooh, and his reddish lotus eyes. I will soon see this. And then he imagines, and when I have fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord will place his lotus hand upon my head. Wow! For those who seek shelter in him, because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time. That hand removes all fear. The hand is called Datta Abhayam. Datta Abhayam, it means it gives fearlessness. You might have seen Krishna sometimes, or Lord Chaitanya blesses like this. This means fearlessness. Be fearless. This is the Abhayam. It's very difficult for an ordinary. Oh, it has to be perfect. Oh, at the moment, I can't really do it. It has to be one straight angle. Kach! The Abhayam Mudra. It doesn't work at the moment. It has to be 90 grad. Anyways, it's transcendental. Do you know how love starts? Have you ever fallen in love? Many times. And that love turned to be poison. No, sometimes people have said like this to me. It's so difficult to say them, tell the mind, love, my dear mind, love. It doesn't work like this. We have one person amongst us who can give us solid information. He's not exactly in the Brahmachari ashram all the time. It starts really with interest. You develop an interest in the person. Wow, I hope this person also comes to this particular musical program. I knew when I, as a non-devotee, I had some. I'm too embarrassed to speak about this here in public. But it starts really like, is she also here? Oh yeah. It starts with this very natural interest and or attention. Notice you, some of you are grihasthas. I mean, we should not speak about the world too much in a temple, otherwise we get thrown out. But you know, when you were in the Grihastha ashram, and you developed some interest in the person, do you remember? And you know, sometimes it manifests in temples that the person who has this loving attitude always runs to the telephone. Maybe she phones from Sankirtan. Or maybe he phones from Sankirtan. You know, he's already taken 50 phone calls. Usually he did not take one phone call even. Maybe it's him. Oops, you know, it starts with this attention. This is how you must start with your feelings for Krishna. You must give him some attention, some interest. For instance, in the holy name. When you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh Krishna, Krishna, Hare, oh Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is how to start. Some interest. Oh, Rala Madam, what is that dress today? I will look when no one sees. How did Madam Mohan, how did he make his turban today? He always, nowadays he wears these far out turbans. You know, you know, this is how you start with attention. It is sad to say, Prabhupada, he had made this one comment which I read many years ago, and I thought it's not possible, but now I know it's possible. In my life it's possible. He said, one should be fascinated with the information to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. But then he says, most people are not interested. So what? Yes, I heard many lectures, go back to Godhead. Yes, but now something is more important than my Back to Godhead project. Gaur Govinda Maharaj used to always say, when you joined, you were very nice. You wanted Krishna. He's an Indian sadhu. He can say such things. We Westerners, we can't say such things. Otherwise, we get stoned. But this is really the point of Krishna consciousness, this journey of love. Good. So I have talked about the subject matter. There are many more things, but the time is also there. Do you have any questions regarding these points regarding this subject matter? Madhavi. Madhavi says it's sometimes easier for me to think of the devotees, what they are doing, than to think of Krishna. Is this the same? Because they're very dear to Krishna. This is a very good question, Madhavi, which was once asked to Srila Prabhupada in relationship to a devotee who wanted to know Prabhupada. What is, if I it's so much more easy for me to think of you than of Krishna. What if I think of you at the time of death? Is this the same as thinking of Krishna? So Srila Prabhupada said yes. I feel this yes needs an explanation. You can think of many ways of a devotee of Krishna. There are different levels of thinking of a devotee of Krishna. We hear that there are at least two levels of thinking of a devotee of Krishna. But if you think of the devotee in a spiritual way, you will think of Krishna. This morning when I was chanting, I want to relate something personal to you, Madhavi. This morning when I was chanting, I was thinking of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Very strongly the thought came. And I was thinking of him. This one thought came. I was thinking of this one thing. I was in Vrindavan, walking through Vrindavan, and I felt very useless and very, very fallen, which happens when you are in a holy place. You sometimes get purified and you feel, I'm so useless. I have not started my service to Srila Prabhupada. I'm very, very selfish and, Krishna. I was really mental. And then Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj came. This happened many years ago. He was passing on the other side. He looked at me, and he had this way of encouraging devotees. That was his very, very important project. Was he wanted to encourage devotees. And he looked at me and I was just, I was on foot. I think he was on a rickshaw. I was going and I was all in my own world, thinking, oh no,
Radharani will never show me mercy. Never, 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 never. You know, I was really in really desperate. And he looked at me and says, here's a real devotee. Meaning, he's such a real devotee. And I was looking at him. And my first reaction, how can you say such a foolish thing? And then I looked into his smiling face, and he really meant it. You can see when someone tries to praise you because he has learned it in a communication seminar. He goes like, you learned it in this foolish Stephen Covey seminar, and now you're trying to play this trick on me. But when it comes from the heart, you just feel it. And it was coming from the heart, and I felt so encouraged. Oh, at least one person thinks I'm a devotee. That's a good starter. Why am I so mental? I thought. He was already gone. It was just in passing. But he really said it so sincerely that I felt so encouraged by the devotee. And this was my best day in Vrindavan. I didn't think any longer about my mind, my senses, and my ego. And I went on to pilgrimage. I took a bath in the Yamuna, although it was very cold. I was very inspired in Krishna consciousness that day. So, yes, sometimes when we think of a devotee, meet a devotee, but it's very important that we do that in a spiritual way, Madhavi. Not like the young unmarried Brahmacharinis, he would go, but be a good moosh. No, he's not a moosh, he's a mazo, he's not a moosh. You know, and so on. It's not that type of talk. When we think of devotees, we become reminded of Krishna. This is why Prabhupada said, yes, when you think of me at the time of death, that this is like thinking of Krishna. You will think of Prabhupada was so much after Krishna. He was so determined and so much in Krishna's world. And you will think like this, and then you think of Krishna. Good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Sisi Radha Madan Mohana ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Hari.